Away we go. Our number four of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. Five questions, five answers. Let's not even waste five more seconds. We call this segment Onside's Offside. Hot take, Hickey.
Hit it! Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, HTH, hot take, Kiki. What do you got for me today, pal?
Zach,
buddy,
you
kiddo,
been...
my pal, mi amigo.
Guy, fella.
Yeah. Bro.
Bro. Zach, you've been calling for it. Steelers fans have been calling for a while, and they got their wish finally on Sunday as Kenny Pickett did make his NFL debut.
Pardon Pickett.
That's such an easy roll-off-the-tongue chant. I actually feel a little bit bad for Mitch because you don't really have a chance because
instead they just said
so much fun to chant.
Kenny.
Should have been put in picket.
I agree.
Week one, even though you're on the road, just start screaming it. You know those terrible towel fans? They travel everywhere.
That they do, and they got their wish finally. Mitch Trubisky was benched to start the second half. Trubisky was benched. Kenny Pickett did come in, although the Steelers did eventually lose to the Jets in that game. But in that game, the rookie did complete 10 of 13 passes for 120 yards. He recorded two rushing touchdowns, but did also throw three picks.
Yeah, two of them weren't bad.
Two of them were not bad. Three picks overall. Today, Zach, it was announced that Kenny Pickett will be the starter for the Steelers moving forward. Onsides or offsides? Kenny Pickett, barring injury, will remain the starter for the Steelers for the rest of the season.
Now, I forget. Where were you at on this? I know it's only been 3-4 weeks. Did you think it was the wrong decision to start Trubisky?
No. I thought they should have started him. I thought he was going to start,
They should have started Trubisky.
Yes. Mm. I want to see what Mitch had, to be honest. I want to see what he's got. I thought he would play better than he did. I thought Kenny would get in. I thought it would be like week, 14 or 15, like with 3 or 4 games left, not with 13 games left.
Now, I have a lot of dear friends that cover the Steelers and that talk about the Steelers or played for the Steelers. Brian McFadden. Cordell Stewart. Ramon Foster. And I told them all, Trubisky stinks. Trubisky sucks. Trubisky has no upside. And they all said, oh, no, Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing. Kenny Pickett will get on the field eventually. But you got to start the kid right now. You got to start the veteran right now, Mitch Trubisky. And I never heard a great argument on what Mitch Trubisky was going to do. Now, if you recall, I have a little steak dinner bet with Brian McFadden, and he said to me on this radio show that regardless of who starts this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steelers, even if they started Trubisky to start the year, were going to make the playoffs. I shot a little text to our pal Brian McFadden today. He's not too confident right now. He said the season's over in terms of them making the playoffs. So I told him I would already start to sharpen up that steak knife. I can't wait to have a little steak dinner with him. And then after that, I got no response.
He called the season over 4 games into the season?
Now, I want to quote him correctly because
he's a Mr. Optimist.
I'm a man of integrity.
Mr. Black and Yellow, Mr. Steeler.
I texted him, both our teams suck. Even though I can't be mad about losing to the Packers in OT with the third string quarterback. And he said, you guys should have won that game, but my Steelers are done. Oh, I did respond. I go, yeah, we should have. Bill needed to have the play calls on 3rd and 5 in overtime. I have 2 play calls on 3rd and 5 in overtime and go for it. Play it as 4-down territory. I expected the pass to miss the playoffs this year. Got to put Mac, though, in a position to succeed next year. Need a true number one wide receiver. And then he said to me, yes, because y'all wide receivers suck. And I said, all number 2 or 3 wide receivers, he goes, at best. But he said, but my Steelers are done. That was the exact quote. And then I sent him a steak emoji and did tell him that I was going to sharpen my steak knife.
He's been on the show
Multiple times. Since the draft, at least three.
I was just going to say, and almost every time you've brought it up, and every time he's been optimistic.
Confident. Cocky.
I was just going to say, almost like arrogant to the point of like, oh, you have no idea what
you're. How you speak about the Colts, that's how he speaks about the Steelers.
That's why I remember it so fondly.
And you even said to me at the draft, he's screwed. Now, you waited for him to leave, but you said he's screwed. He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. Because last year, you went through the same thing when I tried to give you a fair warning about your football team. And you refused to listen and told me I was an idiot, a moron, and a dope.
Was a bet just... Because I know you guys have a side bet differently about who will make the Super Bowl first.
Two bets. Who makes the Super Bowl first?
Right.
Patriots, Steelers. I may be dead by the time you have to actually pay off that bet. And I'm only 28 years old. And then the other bet... was he said the Steelers are making the playoffs this year. And I go, even if y'all start Mitch Trubisky? And he goes, don't call him Trubisky. Show him some respect.
Okay.
And he goes, yes, they'll make the playoffs either way.
I was sure if it was a record between the Patriots and the Steelers just flat out make the playoffs.
You know me. I wasn't confident with my team before the year. Why would I bet them? The Steelers on paper should be better than the Patriots this year.
What is Brian doing?
Mm-hmm. It's all right. We'll see if he'll put his money where his mouth is when it's time to pay up on the bet. You know? He made the bet, but we'll see if it actually pays it off.
We'll see. We start saving now.
Because Gus Ferrato owes me a few things, too, and I never got them from Gus. And since he's not doing picks with us this year, I still don't think I'm going to get them from Gus.
Smart man. He ducked out. He saw like the tab raising up.
So he said to me, Kenny Pickett, barring injury, will remain the starter for the rest of the season on sides. Because once again, I'll ask you this simple question. What is the upside of going to Mitch Trubisky again?
Upside zero.
Thank you. That's all I need to hear. What's the butt, though?
I was just going to say, I don't know. If he plays bad, if he plays really bad, I think they'll make a switch.
Play the kid. We don't know if Kenny Pickett's going to be great.
We don't.
There's a reason only one quarterback went in the first round. That means the other 31 teams had zero either didn't need a quarterback or zero confidence, really, in any of these quarterbacks. So, let's see what the kid's got.
We'll
That's
see.
Your cue to continue.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah. I wasn't sure there's anything
more
going.
I was like a pause. I thought about saying something. And I'm like, okay, you can continue.
End of the sentence. Trubisky will not start again for the Steelers.
Now, just a quick reminder. I know a lot of you probably don't care about my bet, but I care about my bet. I have $5 to win $170 parlay. Jeff Wilson Jr. touchdown. Matthew Stafford touchdown. Jeff Wilson Jr. already has a touchdown. 49ers up 7-3 against the Rams. And now the Rams are in the red zone as Cooper Kupp. Did he get 2 feet down? Ooh. Wait a second, Jim. That's close. If this does stand, they're going to be right at the 20. I don't even see a challenge. If I'm the Rams, I would hike the football very quickly. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And it's an end around. And it's down to the 9 or 8 yard line for a first down. I would not mind. Now it's going to be, I believe, first and goal. Get down to the one. Make it fourth and goal. And then on fourth and goal, call Matthew Stafford's number for a little score. That's just me, but go ahead.
Your bet would benefit. My fantasy team would benefit. So we're on the same team here. Matthew Stafford touchdown.
Nobody cares about your bet. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. Okay? Okay, okay.
In things people do care about, the Bills overcame a 20-3 deficit to beat the Ravens 23-20 on Sunday. That comeback in part was allowed because late in the fourth quarter, on fourth and goal from the Bills' 2-yard line with a game tied 20-20, John Harbaugh elected to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. Lamar Jackson's pass in the back corner of the end zone was intercepted, and Buffalo subsequently went right down the field, kicked the winning field goal with no time left to win the game. After the game, Harbaugh was asked about the decision. He said going for it, he made that call because 3 points right there is not going to win the game. Onsides or offsides, John Harbaugh going for it on fourth and goal was the right decision.
I'm saying it was the wrong decision, so I go offside.
Offside!
Your offense was doing nothing in that second half, really for the last three quarters of that game. I think you take the points, your defense on the drive before they did force a 3-and-out against Buffalo. I know the defense allowed them to march all the way down the field to go kick the game-winning field goal. If they wanted the touchdown, they could have got it. But I do think in a close game like that, about a little over 4 minutes ago, you take the three and you go from there.
Sunday saw a few teams continue their disappointing start to the season. The Broncos lost to the previously winless Raiders 32-23. The Panthers, their offensive struggles continued. They lost to the Cardinals 26-16 in that game. Baker Mayfield threw two picks, and Matt Rhule's team has now lost 24 straight games when their opponent has scored 17 or more points.
Woof.
The Colts, they fell to the Titans 24-17 as Matt Ryan turned the ball over two times.
What team was that that lost to the Titans?
The Colts.
You thought I was actually confused for a second.
At 1-2-1 is their beautiful record now against somehow the Texans, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, and the Titans. Go figure. The one win comes from Kansas City.
Keep it moving. Let's go. Come on.
Onsides or offsides, NZ man. The Colts have been the biggest disappointment of these three teams so far this season.
Out of those three teams?
Out of those three teams. You want to say the NFL, too? You can go to the NFL as well.
No, let's do those three teams. So the Panthers, I didn't think would make the playoffs before the year started. I didn't think they'd be 1-3, though, after their first four games. Indianapolis, I thought by process of elimination they would win the AFC South, but never thought they were a really good team to begin with. And the Broncos, I didn't think we're going to make the playoffs this year. But with how easy that schedule is the first 4 weeks for them to be 2-2 and have no life offensively, yeah. Out of those three teams, they're the biggest disappointments. You said the Colts have been the biggest disappointment of this those three teams as far as this year so far. I would go offside.
Offside.
Alabama suffered
a
big.
Rams got it to fourth and goal, but they weren't really moving the football. They took a field goal. It's now 7-6.
You can't keep a sneak from like the 8-yard line. Bad job by Sean McVay. Help us out here.
I would actually put John Wolford in the game and line up Matthew Stafford as a running back.
I like it. Anything to get.
I don't want to kill you. You all right there?
Anything to get the anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
We're on the same team on that one for sure.
Or Stafford could throw the football up in the air, catch it himself.
Now we're talking. Oh, that's a beautiful in.
Yeah.
In on that one for sure. Alabama, Zach, on Saturday, they suffered a big scare, and Bryce Young went down the second quarter with a shoulder sprain. He did not return into the game. They did get a big boost from their backup quarterback, Jalen Milroe, who stepped in nicely to engineer the tie to a 49-26 win over number 20 Arkansas on the road. Now, earlier today, Nick Saban said that Young is day-to-day without giving any more details.
Yeah, a little testy with the media, too.
Oh, that he did. Him and Bill Belichick come from the same tree, if you could not tell. Alabama this week does host...
Can we get that audio later of Saban?
We got it whenever you want it.
Oh, we have it.
We have it.
Can you play that audio?
Yes, sir.
Right now, and then we'll get back to the question.
This was the question about...
When he gets very frustrated when asked if he will design a specific offensive package for Jalen Milroe.
We already have one. You want us to put a new one together now just because he might play, or use the old one? I mean, we can do either one. I mean, I'll go talk to the offensive coaches and see. Again, you know, I don't talk to Jimbo on a regular basis, but I'll call him and tell him right after the conference if you want me to. I mean, you guys think I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with our offense and our team? You might as well make it up. I saw today where there was headlines in the paper that, you know, I'm going to keep it a secret what we're going to do with Bryce. It sounded like me making that statement. But I've never said that. But it was there in black and white. Like... So you can make up whatever you want to make up. You know, look at somebody else's running quarterback and say they should put these plays in. I think that'd be a better way to do it.
I'm just going to ask a simple question here. Why is he getting so annoyed by the headline that he's going to keep it a secret if Bryce Young's going to play or not? That's the biggest lock of the century, that we will not know who's starting at quarterback for Alabama until Alabama's first drive against A&M. You disagree with that?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm with you
100%. So what's he bitching about?
It's classic Nick. Well, this is also, did you hear his interview with Jenny Dell after the game?
Oh, yeah. Jenny Dell, I saw this on Twitter. I didn't listen to it, but the way that it was described was she asked about the team, and he then said, how about you ask about the team?
She asked, what did you see, or how proud of you the resiliency your team show once Bryce went down? Well, how about, you know, I want to talk about the team and how proud I am of how they responded back to adversity. This is a hostile crowd. Bryce, it's like he literally answered the exact question. So you wonder why this guy is getting mad at the media? He gets mad at a question that he literally answers.
I am usually a fan of Saban. I like Saban. I think Saban is usually funny with the media. since Saturday, those were two jackass moves. All right, let's just call it what it is. See, the old ball coach is still a great old ball coach. I still love him. I still love seeing the dominance of Alabama. Those are two L's.
Do you think he saw Bill Belichick making a funny, if you want to call it that, last week, although he's being kind of serious with the, I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to read the MRI. And Nick goes, you know, I'll try that too.
Well, that's what Saban should do. He should come out tomorrow at the press conference and go, our quarterback, Bryce Young, is day to day. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to read the MRI report. He's day to day. Now ask me about the team. Oh, you asked me about the team?
How dare you ask me about the
team? How dare you then ask me about team? Ask me about team. T-E-A-M, team. No I in team. No Bryson team. Continue.
There's no I in Bryce, that is for sure. So speaking of Bryce Young, Alabama will host A&M this weekend. It should be a juicy matchup for sure.
Next I don't care who's quarterbacking the Crimson Tide. Alabama by 1,000 against A&M.
Lock it up.
And notice, I don't talk to Jimbo on the regular, is what he said. That's a shot. Jimbo, I hate your guts. Even though I ran my mouth first, you responded unnecessarily. You're screwed this weekend. I'll beat you with Hickey at quarterback.
I'll tell you my game plan. I'll show you the plays, and I'm going to beat you with those own plays.
I'll leave the playbook in your office. You still won't beat me, you bum. And you beat me last year. But you won't beat me again.
That should be a very, very fun matchup on prime time on CBS next week, by the way. After that
is
game.
Is that 3:30 or not? It's a night game, right?
8 o'clock.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
The old CBS doubleheader once a year. This is it. Prime time. Bryant Denny Stadium should be a raucous atmosphere, to say the least. Assuming they get by Texas A&M this weekend, which they should. Next weekend, they go on the road to Knoxville and take on number 8, Tennessee. Onside or offside, Zach? Alabama needs Bryce Young to beat both Texas A&M and Tennessee.
And is the key word here.
And.
Onsides. They could beat A&M without Bryce Young. Tennessee, tougher task with how good Hendon Hooker's playing football this year.
And finally, Zach, in a shocking move yesterday, Wisconsin head coach Paul Chryst became the 5th Power 5 head coach to be fired in season as the Badgers made the move following what was an embarrassing 34-10 loss to Illinois on Saturday. Wisconsin this season is 2-3, but overall in the 8 years that Chryst was in Madison, he compiled a 67-26 record, including winning 3 Big Ten West titles. Now, if you go back a few years ago, different school, same situation. Nebraska, they had Bo Pelini and were winning, and Bo Pelini actually had a very similar record. He was 66-27, so one win less than Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. And as you know, since firing Bo Pelini, the Cornhuskers have never been able to get back just that level of success, let alone surpass it. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Wisconsin record-wise, relevancy-wise, we closer to Nebraska, 5-6-7 win stratosphere compared to Ohio State the next 5 years.
So you're just asking me if Wisconsin will be closer to Nebraska than Ohio State in 5 years, what you're asking?
Yes.
Now, are any of these teams ever going to be really close to Ohio State in terms of being able to take them down and find a way to get a victory in a meaningful game? Probably not. But yeah, Wisconsin's just in a better position than Nebraska. And there's a lot of work to just make Nebraska competent, where Wisconsin is a competent program. So I will trust Wisconsin over Nebraska in order to get closer to Ohio State, which both, even if they had a 10-foot pole, probably still couldn't touch Ohio State these days. So yeah, onsides there. All right, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We can take your calls next, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Also, when we return, we got to take a look at the disappointing 2-2 start by the Baltimore Ravens. Deebo Samuel, by the way, just went for a 50-yard score, catch and run, and that will be a touchdown. So if the extra point is good, it will be 14-6, 49ers up on the Rams.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, I think there's 3 games from yesterday that really elicit a big-time reaction. So the Chiefs-Buccaneers game, just domination by Kansas City. That's take number 1. Kansas City, if anyone had doubts about them through the, you know, the offseason, the first 3-4 weeks of the season, yeah, I know they lost that one game to Indianapolis, but with the state of the AFC not being as great as what we thought it was, Kansas City looks like a force to be reckoned with. The other, Buffalo, two takes come from the Buffalo Ravens game. Buffalo wins a game that they probably should have lost, but good teams find a way to not allow a losing streak and win a game when they don't play their best. And then for the Baltimore Ravens, it is concerning that at home, not on the road, at home, they've now blown two big-time leads where they were up 35-14 up against the Dolphins and then up 20-3 up against the Bills, and they just shut down. How concerned are you with the Ravens? Because I look at that AFC North. Bengals are 0-2, now they're 2-2. Browns, they just lost to the Falcons, they're 2-2, and they're getting into a tougher part of their schedule. And Pittsburgh, they're just not a good team. The Ravens could have done some serious damage, and they could be, and probably should be, 4-0. Is that concerning to you? Because offensively, with Dobbins back, I know Andrews didn't play great yesterday, but he's a really good tight end. You eventually get your big left tackle back. As long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy, I think their offense is going to be fine. Defensively, though, there's been problems. Big-time problems as well.
It is a little concerning to start because it's still early in the year, but I mean, like you mentioned, especially too, when you look at the caliber of offenses in the AFC, I mean, if you can't get stops now, later in the year, when these teams should be rounding into form even more, that's when I think the real kind of panic will set in where it's like, all right, if you're not getting any stops, and it's going to be kind of like the Chargers last year, you just got to outscore every opponent. That's not really a feasible way to be a legitimate playoff team and get far in the playoffs.
And they got talent on the defensive side of the ball. It's not as if you look at that roster, you go, wow, this roster defensively stinks. And maybe it's an adjustment. Because Wink Martindale was there for years. And look at the job Wink Martindale's doing. And he doesn't have the talent in New York that the talent in Baltimore has. And that defense, I know not up against the greatest competition, but the Giants are 3-1. So you got to give Wink Martindale credit. That was a move where sometimes it's timing, sometimes a message run its course that you need a change. I didn't love that move when it happened. I didn't think you were going to bring in someone that made you think, oh my goodness gracious, man, they got drastically better at that spot.
Especially when the move is made after a year in which injuries were the biggest reason for them missing the playoffs or the defense struggling compared to just like bad scheme or like I said, the message getting stale. I mean, every single defensive back I think they had was out for the year at some point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So like, they were just get more ravaged.
Banged up. You couldn't get more banged up than the injuries that they had last
right.
year. All over the place.
So that's why I'm with you. Like the move is just questionable because injuries were their biggest downfall, not scheme or philosophy.
Now, you bring back Mike McDonald, who was at Michigan, and before that, he was in Baltimore's organization for a while. So it's not like you're bringing in someone that's foreign and that has never been a part of that organization. And he was gone for 1 year when he was at Michigan. Did a great job with the Michigan defense. And is a young, up-and-coming coach, you know, in his mid-30s, but like Wink Martindale, that guy has a lot of clout in this league for a defensive coordinator. You know, you don't usually know many of the defensive coordinators in terms of like nationally when you try to simplify everything on this scale. That's a guy that everyone knows. Now, he may never be a head coach, but you look at that defense for the first 4 weeks, they lost two games because of their defense, you can make the case. And yeah, the offense needs to show up after the first quarter. They really did nothing yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar can't throw that interception. I personally think that they shouldn't even have gone for it. They should have just taken the field goal in that spot. But hey, I'm not the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. By the way, I knew we were going to get a phone call from this guy today. Is Jay in Alaska? Here's my question. Whenever the Raiders win, Jay is fired up. But when you start the year 0-3, even the most optimistic Raiders fan that I know, he can't be jumping for joy because the Broncos right now, they're a bad football team, even though they're only 2-2 on the year. I'm going to say Jay is still annoyed with this football team. Now, have you screened Jay? Did you get a sense of where Jay was at?
Slightly.
So what's your take here?
You would be correct. There's not an overjoyous perspective. It's still a little more annoyance.
And I don't blame him. Jay in Alaska, let's hear what Jay sounds like today.
Hey, what's going on, Zach?
I'm doing sensational. You know, we're hosting a radio show on a Monday. You know, I know what it's like to now be like you because my football team is out of it. I haven't had to deal with that for pretty much the better part of 20 years. So I'm adjusting to life as an NFL fan, a regular NFL fan.
Hey, welcome to the pessimistic zone. You'll give the water's fine. Come on in.
I'm in the pit of misery now. Maybe Bud Light should sponsor me or something like that. Go ahead.
So, hey, I got two things for you, and if you just give me a couple minutes, I'll lay it out, and then I'll take your take off the air. So, I've been watching a ton of college football, as you know, like you, and you know, everybody's been worried about, you know, where the next quarterback's coming from, and you know, I'm like I said, I'm not gonna ever put myself on a pedestal with college coaches or NFL coaches because I'm not, but I've been a football coach for 10 years, so I recognize talent when I see it. So I was watching the kid Richardson from Florida, the kid Green from Boise State, and the kid, I forget his name, from Texas Tech. All three of these kids are true freshmen starting for replacing injured quarterbacks. And I'm telling you what, Zach, I'm excited. All three of these kids look amazing. They're big, they're athletic, they can throw, and they can make plays with their feet. And I think they're going to be I think the state of the quarterback play in the NFL in the next couple of years is going to be amazing. More and more amazing athletes are going to be coming in. So I just want to get your take on those guys if you've seen them. And then I wanted to ask you because you're a
Just real quickly, the quarterback, Taylen Green for Boise State, I have not seen enough of. And he had, what, like 10 passing attempts, I think, in that game against San Diego State. I know he ran the football a ton. So I do not know how he is as a throw of the football, but back
he
to
reminds
back,
me of a yeah he reminds me of a young Lamar Jackson, can make plays with speed, but
I'm not going to go there after a few games. But Anthony Richardson is the other quarterback that you said who is eligible for the draft. You know what? I know he's been there since 2020, and this is his first full year as a starter. Anthony Richardson made a big splash against Utah, and ever since that game, I have not seen the buzz or the same type. There's potential there. I got to see more consistency from Anthony Richardson.
I think he needs to play another year.
He's going to go to the NFL draft this year, I would think. But CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, I know Will Levis didn't play great against Ole Miss, but those have really been the three quarterbacks that I've heard the most for this upcoming NFL draft. But, yeah, what's your next point? Quickly.
So my next point real quick is, you know, you're a connoisseur of all things in New England. So I still don't get Josh McDaniels at all. I mean, okay, so just hear me out on this.
Yeah.
He had Tom Brady, okay?
Yes.
We have, and I understand when he went to Denver, he had nothing. I mean, Tim Tebow's not even on, couldn't hold Tom Brady's shoe. But, and I'm not saying Derek Carr is on Tom Brady's level either, but the one thing that the both of them have is a ability to recognize a defense and read a defense pretty well. Derek Carr is pretty good about reading the defense, okay? So he's got a competent quarterback. He's got a tight end in Darren Waller. Not as good as Gronk, but pretty close, you know, in the same atmosphere, okay? He's got a great wide receiver in Davante Adams, and he, unlike in New England, has a bell cow back. And it took him till week four to figure out, run the freaking football? Are you kidding me? I'm a high school coach, and I could have figured that one out. You give the ball to Josh Jacobs 28 times for 144 yards, he scores two touchdowns, and guess what? You win the freaking game.
Well, you also have to be
Jay to figure that out.
Jay, and I'm not going to be an apologist here for Josh McDaniels, and thanks for the phone call. Maybe he's just a guy who's only a good offensive coordinator, not a good head coach. Now you're having a problem with the play calling. That's fair. But let's be real. When you're behind in the game, you're not going to be able to run the football as much as you want. This weekend, they were able to play with the lead and play out in front. That's why you could go give Josh Jacobs the football 28 times. Against Tennessee, they had to come on back. Against the Chargers, they had to come on back. Arizona, if you want to make the case, they could run the football a little bit more. They gave it to him 19 times. Okay, I can understand that. But I'm not going to get on him for not running the football enough in the Chargers game or the Tennessee game. They were trailing big. And you got to try to get back in the game by throwing the football. And Derek Carr, I know we threw him his bouquets last year, and he deserved it last year with all the crap that he went through. That guy is not a franchise quarterback. He's not a top 10. At times, he looks like a top 10 quarterback. And the moment you start to say it, he takes 10 steps backwards. And with the way that contract is structured, I said it last week and I'll say it again. He will not be on that team after the 2023 season. He just won't be. They'll take a quarterback in the draft, and even you're starting to think about it, Jay, with looking at these freshman quarterbacks around the country, okay? You're starting to think about it when you're calling about the Boise State quarterback. So it just shows you that you don't really believe in Carr, even though Jay has been a vocal supporter of Carr throughout the years. All right, we'll come on back with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson gets a victory for UCLA. They are undefeated on the year at 5-0. He had over 350 total yards of offense and four total touchdowns. Give the UCLA quarterback a stock up in their victory at up against, at the time, number 15 Washington, 40-32. DJ Uiagalelei. Cade Klubnik was supposed to replace this guy this year. He's supposed to have a big-time career at Clemson. But the last two games, DJ Uiagalelei has silenced the haters. Big-time performance against Wake Forest, backed up against a big-time performance against NC State. Give DJ Uiagalelei a stock up. Oklahoma State. Nice victory up against Baylor, 36-25. They're still undefeated. Spencer Sanders, their quarterback, going to be in the Heisman conversation. Had two total touchdowns in the game, ran for 75 yards. 20-29, 181 passing yards, a touchdown in the contest. Love what I saw from Spencer Sanders up against Baylor. Give Spencer Sanders a stock up. I can't believe I'm saying this because I thought this was a one-hit wonder. And I thought that people wrote him off and he wasn't going to write back. But he keeps on writing back with big-time performances. The Seahawks are 2-2. Geno Smith threw four games this season, 1-2 for a .132, completion percentage of 77.3%, over 1,000 yards passing, six touchdowns and two interceptions. Russell Wilson ain't doing that. Stock up, Geno Smith. Cooper Rush, 4-0 in his career as a starting quarterback, one going back to last year, three this year. The Cowboys were dead, done, finished once Dak Prescott did go down. And now he's weathered the storm. They're 3-1. Another victory for Cooper Rush. Give him a stock up. Saquon Barkley, as long as he could stay healthy, he's back. Stock up, Saquon Barkley. The Philadelphia Eagles, they were down 14-0. They come back, and not only come back, they covered the spread. Good teams win. Great teams cover. I think that's what the saying is. And guess what? The Eagles are a great team. They are 4-0. And I got to give a shout out to two guys. Miles Sanders. What is this? A Penn State running back party? 27 carries, 134 yards, and two touchdowns. Also had two receptions for 22 yards. And then my guy, T for Temple U, Hassan Reddick, had two sacks, two strip sacks, and two fumble recoveries. Hassan Reddick. And also Miles Sanders. Stock up. All right, time to get to the negative. Hickey, say it with me. Fire Frank. Fire Frank. Fire Frank. Come on, all together now. No? You're not there yet?
He's going to get fired. I just won't chant it. I like Frank. But there's no choice.
You like carrying around all that dead weight.
There's no choice.
Tied against the Texans. That's basically a loss. Has never won in Jacksonville. And has lost four straight to Tennessee. Stock down, Frank Reich. I got to give a stock down to Jeff Collins. He got fired last week. His Georgia Tech team then this week. He's no longer the coach. goes to Pittsburgh. It was a good program. Won the ACC last year. And they beat Pittsburgh. That's a bad reflection on Jeff Collins. Stock down to Jeff Collins.
Baker Mayfield. The only reason he's starting next week is Carolina has nothing else. Too small. Ball getting batted down at the line of scrimmage. Ball getting deflected. Picked off by the other team. And then after the game, he goes, oh, yeah, we fed off the fans booing and we scored a touchdown. Dude, you lost the game. And in the first half, you didn't score a touchdown when the Cardinals trying to give you the game. Last year, I defended Baker because he was playing hurt. I can't defend him anymore. Stock down, Baker Mayfield. The New York Mets. All they had to do. Oh, Hickey. Man. They made my friend Hickey upset. You look like your puppy dog just got shot or something.
You asked me to start the show. Why do I seem so depressed?
Yeah, you seemed really upset today. I know the Colts lost and the Mets lost, but come on, get it together, kid.
That was just sadness followed by a kick in the groin.
Yeah. Come on. DeGrom, Scherzer, and I was confident that this team was going to win the division. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, leads in all those games, and you can't win one bleeping game. And I know the bats are terrible, but yeah, you can't make Kenley Jansen sweat. It's a terrible job, and now the Braves are going to win the division. Stock down to the Mets. Paul Chris fired at Wisconsin. Got to give him a stock down. Oklahoma football. Oof. Hickey, I hate to do this to you. And I know it seems like I'm piling on you today. But last week, before the Kansas State game, I may or may not have been listening to a very fine radio program that broadcasts on this on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, and the Odyssey app. And they call that show The Ryan Hickey Show. The Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I've suggested to you that you should do a Hot Take Hickey Hour. You've not listened, but you keep on spewing hot takes. And you were really optimistic on September 24th about Oklahoma and how they will make the college football playoff. Since then, they lost to Kansas State. Shout out Chris Klieman. And then they just got their doors blown off by TCU. 55-24 they lose. Now, I'm not going to kill Brent Venables. First year, big job, big expectations. I get that. But this guy is a defensive wizard. It's a rough loss to TCU. And back-to-back weeks, you lose to Kansas State as well. I know Chris Klieman has won three of the four times in his career up against Oklahoma as the head coach at Kansas State. But Oklahoma, put a fork in him. Stock down. Anything you got to say about that one?
Even worse than last week was on Saturday.
Uh-oh, I didn't listen this weekend.
A few things. Number one, I said...
This is integrity right here. Go ahead.
I have no problem calling myself out.
Give yourself a stock up.
I did. We did it on the show last week. I did the same thing, kind of. Like, first month takeaways. I said, it's Georgia and everyone else. Georgia then proceeds for 58 minutes to be losing to Mizzou.
The only one that was sweating more during that Missouri game was Big Cat and Chase Daniel. They were going to have to pay for all those bar tabs.
Holy cow. I also said that my college football playoff hopes were all alive, including Oklahoma. They go out and get their doors blown off of TCU. So,
oh, you doubled down on Oklahoma?
I doubled down on Oklahoma. That did not go well.
Oh, my God. So, you doubled down? You didn't learn?
So those two takes in the span of 12 hours aged terribly.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Sorry. Give yourself a stock down. Sell! And then finally, my guy, Bill Belichick. I know people can tell me moral victory, good effort up against the Green Bay Packers, but here's why. You're playing with Bailey Zappi, who should have been starting the game, over Brian Stinkenhoyer. And not only that, in overtime, you can't give the ball back to Rodgers. You stopped him once. You're not going to stop him twice. Third and five. I would have been fine if they ran the football there. Or if you're going to throw it, again, put the ball in Bailey Zappi's hand and go win the game on fourth down or advance the ball down the field. I don't get punting the football back to Rodgers. You can't do it. I know the defense played well. I know it's a good effort for the Patriots, but they should have gone for it on fourth and five. So that's on the coach. Stock down, Bill Belichick. And that's the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. 49ers 14, Rams 6 with 10:37 to go in the third quarter. And the Rams just got a first down, balls at midfield. There was a streaker that ran on the field right before halftime or right before the end of the first half or the start of the third quarter. Bobby Wagner decked the streaker. I just retweeted that on my social media, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, C-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Hot to Kiki, great job as always. Thank you to everyone calling, listening, and tweeting. We'll do it again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Yeah, bye-bye. Peace!